Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So we pray, Father, we look to thee. Thou was this morning, teach us from thy word that which would make us to be joyous, obedient, excited Christians that bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Unsung heroes. I wonder this morning how many know the name of Moses' father. Know the name of Moses' father. The only reason I can raise my hand is I looked it up this week. So don't feel bad. Now we have a couple here. How many know the name of Moses' mother? That's a little bit easier, isn't it? Yeah, we have several of those. Okay. But still, they aren't commonly known names. And I think probably the majority of Christians, if they were asked that question, would have to say, I really don't know, or they might have to guess and guess wrong. Because we don't hear the names of Moses' parents very often. In case you're curious, it's given in Exodus 6:20, Amram and Jochebed. We have in Exodus 6:20 given their names. But here in Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 23, the entire verse actually is about Moses' parents, even though it does not mention their names. The verse starts off, by faith Moses. And we get the idea, oh, now we have the example of Moses as a man of faith. Well, by faith Moses, when he was born, he didn't do much to merit that. He was hid 3 months, and that wasn't necessarily his idea, his first 3 months of life. And so we find that actually this verse does not talk about Moses, it talks about Moses' parents, because he was hid by his parents. And so it's Moses' parents here in this verse who are showing faith. They are here in the Hall of Fame, even though we are not given their names. So here we have Moses, perhaps the greatest leader of history. Mentioned here as a man of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But the portion is begun by telling us how much Moses owed to other people. First of all, then, we are told, by faith Moses, when he was born, or having been born. Not only was not Moses able to take any credit for this, this was not an act of faith on his part. If Moses had had any choice at all, he probably would have chosen a different time, because this was not the time to be born. During this time, the Egyptians were growing in their fear towards the Israelitish people. We read in the book of Exodus that the Egyptians were afraid because the Israelites were growing so fast in numbers. They said, certainly one of these days they will turn against us. If some other nation comes against us, the Israelites will go with that other nation. And the nation of the Israelites living there in Egypt had become a very great threat to the Egyptians. The Egyptians were afraid and they didn't know what to do. How are we going to stop this growing nation within our borders? Well, the Pharaoh, which is just a name for a king, the king who was in charge at that time, devised a plan. He said, we will call in the midwives. And so he called in the heads of the midwives and said, now, when you go to attend the Hebrew women, and you see that it's a boy that has been born, we want you to kill that child. But we find in the book of Exodus that didn't work, because the midwives feared God and they wouldn't do that. Besides, they had something to help them get out of that difficult situation. The Hebrew women were very, it says in the book of Exodus, they were very lively. And by the time the midwives got there, the child had been born already. The Hebrews at this time were going through hard work. The men and the women had a hard life. And they were in top physical condition. And so the midwives found that the babies were born by the time they got there. And so they went back to Pharaoh, glad for the good excuse they had. They said, "We don't even get there in time. They're done by the time we get there." So Pharaoh had to devise another method. And so he then commanded not just the midwives. He then commanded all of his people. And he commanded all of the Egyptian people. And said, "Whenever you see a male Hebrew baby, you have government authority to throw it into the river." Well, that made things a little more difficult, because then the Hebrew families just couldn't walk out the door and take a stroll with their new little baby, because anybody that saw a Hebrew baby, that it was a boy, they had the privilege of taking that baby and running off and just seeing how far out into the river they could throw it. You say, "Oh, what a terrible thing. They must have been terrible people to even want to do anything like that." That's true. We don't do that today. We just throw them in garbage pails today. It shows that they weren't such terrible people. We have the same thing today, in our day. Get rid of the babies. And in that day, this was the day in which Moses was born. This was the time in which Moses was born. Humanly speaking, it wasn't a good time to be born. And if Moses had been able to choose it, his time, that wouldn't have been the time to choose. But it isn't, we aren't the ones who choose our timing. It's God who chooses our time to be born. And so we're never born 30 years too soon or 30 years too late either, as far as that goes, because God is the one who chooses our timing. Now, Moses was born exactly during the time that this decree was on that any Hebrew baby, male baby, should be thrown into the river. This was exactly the time Moses was born during the decree. If Moses had been born 3 years sooner, he'd have had no problem. Aaron, his older brother, was born 3 years sooner. There was no decree then. Aaron was not thrown into the river. And if Moses had been born a few years later, there'd have been no problem, because evidently the decree of the king did not last very long, because the Hebrew people kept on growing and growing and getting larger and larger. And actually, the decree was doomed to failure, because it directly violated what God had promised. You remember when God told Jacob, he said, "I want you to go down into Egypt. And down there in Egypt, I will make of thee a great nation." Now, God had said, "I will make Israel a great nation while they're down there in Egypt." And so when Pharaoh came along and said, "You kill off all the male babies, we're going to get rid of this nation," he was done before he started. There was no hope for that decree, because it directly violated what God had promised. And so it didn't last very long. A terrible decree, but you know how God uses the wrath of man to praise him? That terrible decree to throw all the male babies into the river came into effect at just the right time and lasted just long enough to get Moses out of a humble Hebrew home and right up into Pharaoh's palace. Isn't it amazing how God uses the wrath of man to accomplish his purposes? And Moses was just taken right out of that humble home and put right in to Pharaoh's palace. What a miracle. God chooses our time of birth, and God chooses our heritage also. God chooses who our parents should be. We read here in Exodus also in verse 1 that Moses was born of a Levite man and not a Levite, but a man of the tribe of Levi, and a woman of the tribe of Levi. And so his parents also, chosen of the Lord. And as Moses later led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, and then gave them the law He offered sacrifices on their behalf, and so it was important that he also be from that very same tribe. And so God chooses our parents. He gives us the right parents, and he causes us to be born just at the right time. We read that Moses was born then at the wrong time, but it was the right time. And when he was born, we read that his parents hid him for 3 months. Now, this was not Moses' faith. This was his parents' faith. And I imagine this was a difficult time. Very difficult, because they had to keep him hidden. Anybody that found out that there was a male baby there could have thrown him into the river. And so this was a difficult time. It was a dangerous time, because if they'd been found out, their own lives probably were in danger. And so for 3 months, they kept this baby hidden. Very difficult time. The first 3 months under ideal conditions are a difficult time. But here, these conditions were far from ideal, to keep this baby hidden. And can you? We can just imagine what Moses' parents went through at this time during these 3 months. And God here tells us that his parents had enough faith to go through all of this difficulty because they had faith in God and they believed that God wanted to do something. And we're told here why. He was hid for 3 months because God says, I want to tell you why. The first reason is they saw that he was a proper child. Now, the word proper here, back in the book of Exodus, is the Hebrew word tov. And it's the very same word that God used when he looked at his creation. In the chapter 1 of Genesis, we read that God created the worlds. And in each step of creation, it says God looked at it and it was good. That's the same word. And Stephen in Acts chapter 7 in his sermon makes reference also to Moses. And there in the Greek he says that Moses was an exceedingly fair child. Moses was a beautiful baby. Now, the two things that would ordinarily have made Hebrew parents exceedingly happy must have been the very two things that were a temptation to great sadness to Moses' parents. First of all, he was a boy, which for the Hebrews meant here is a possible Messiah. And that's why they looked forward so much to the birth of a boy baby, because of the promise of Messiah. And then secondly, he was a beautiful baby. And as they looked at that boy, and as they looked at that beauty, and as they realized that he was doomed to death according to the decree of Pharaoh, certainly this must have taken a lot of the joy out of what otherwise would have been a very exciting moment. The very two assets that he had became suddenly his tremendous liabilities. If he'd have been a girl, he'd have had no problems. And so his outstanding beauty, we read, was one of the reasons why they were just determined more than ever, we have to save this baby. And actually, it was his outstanding beauty that also, after 3 months, I believe was a part of his being saved by Pharaoh's daughter. And she looked into that little ark and she saw that baby crying, and he was a beautiful child. And she wanted him for herself. And so Moses' beauty was used of God twice to save his life. Now, God gives at times physical beauty, and sometimes he doesn't. When God gives physical beauty, it's for a specific purpose. The purpose of Moses' physical beauty was to save his life twice. When God does not give physical beauty, it's for a specific purpose. And so when God gives physical beauty, it's not that we might have pride, but that we might be grateful to God, and that we might determine we're going to discover why God did this. Lord, what was your purpose? When God does not give physical beauty, it's not for bitterness. God, why did you do this to me? But it's for a purpose, and we must determine, God, I want to know, what is your purpose in making me just the way you made me. Because God has a purpose. And just as Moses' physical beauty was used of God for his life, so also lack of physical beauty can be used of God in our lives. And we have to find out what is God's purpose. Not feel that, too bad about the rest of you people, but God did it right with me. Or on the contrary, feel, why did God cheat me? But rather find out, God, what do you have in mind? What's your purpose? What's your plan? I just want to know it, and I want to fit into it. And so we read that Moses' parents were determined to spare his life because they saw he was a beautiful child. And secondly, they were determined to spare his life because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were determined. They were persuaded that God could provide, just as he provided the child, he could provide the solution. And so they did not fear. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Because when we are gripped by fear, we become irrational. You know, when people are afraid, they do very foolish things. And so Moses' parents were not afraid. And their lack of fear enabled them to be creative and to decide what they were going to do. First of all, they decided they'd hide him. And then afterwards, they came upon another solution. But they were able to come upon the solution for one reason, because they were not afraid. They could think because they weren't afraid. And I believe there was something else. Because of the nature of the solution, you remember they made an ark and they placed the baby in the river. Now the command was, all male Hebrew babies into the river. They did just exactly what the commandment said. They put them in the river. And so I believe basically they had a spirit of obedience. They would have obeyed Pharaoh in anything he wanted, aside from what was specifically against God's command. God says, thou shalt not kill, and that was not right. And so they found a creative way of obeying God and fulfilling the king's command. They put him in the river. And I believe that there was a spirit of obedience and a lack of a spirit of fear that enabled them to be creative and do what God wanted them to do. And they put him in the river, turning him over to God. Now, here he is, God. He's all yours. And you can take care of him. And so they placed him in the river. We know the story, how Pharaoh's daughter came and took him, how his sister Miriam, standing nearby, went and got the very mother of the baby to be the nurse. I wonder, you know, Moses had a tremendous debt of gratitude to his parents for those 3 months of hiding him. That must have been difficult. To his sister for being right on hand there and getting Pharaoh's daughter to get his very mother for a nurse, to Pharaoh's daughter herself for taking him. Moses had a debt of gratitude to many people because of the fact that his life was spared, that he received the training that he needed. He had a debt of gratitude to the Egyptian government. Do you know that the Egyptian government provided all the food and clothing and schooling, the education that Moses needed? They fed and clothed and educated the very man who was going to take away their slaves. Isn't it amazing how God works things out? And Moses had a debt of gratitude even to the Egyptian government. All of these unsung heroes, people that God used to make Moses what he was, to bring Moses to a place of usefulness for him. Now, Moses then was taken away from his own home, probably at the age of 3 or 4. I don't know how long it would have taken to wean them, but probably by the age of 3 or 4 years of age, Moses was then taken away from his home. He became known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so from a very young age, Moses did not have a normal home life. But you know, God had this planned. And God took Moses away from his parents for a very special purpose, because he wanted to prepare him for a very special task. Sometimes people look back on their past and they say, well, I'm bitter because you'd be bitter too if you were raised in the home I was raised in. Or, I didn't have any parents like most people, and I was brought up in foster homes or an orphanage. And if you had to go through what I had to go through, you'd feel the way I did too. And they're bitter against everybody, the whole world, and God too, because they feel they were cheated out of something. But here Moses was taken away from his parents because God wanted to prepare him for a very special job. You know, if we would just realize that when God takes us away from something we think we ought to have, when God deprives us of something we think that ought to be ours, when God puts us in a situation different from other people and we think we got cheated, God is just preparing us for a very special task. If you were raised without your parents, perhaps God has a very special plan for you. He must have a very special work for you to do. But he can't do that as long as you're bitter. Say, now, God, why did you do that to me? And so if you just thank him and say, God, I thank you that you took me away from my parents because you wanted to prepare me for some kind of a very special job. And if you'll just show me what it is, that's what I want to do. Or maybe you wish you had been taken away. You say, well, Lord, I thank you. You gave me those parents for a very special purpose. You knew just the ones I needed to prepare me for just the ministry in life you have for me, so that I could fulfill your plan for my life. So I thank you for them. And go back and thank them too. Say, God used you to prepare me in a very special way for life. And I appreciate it and want to thank you. You know, when we thank God for doing the right thing, because that's what he does. He does the right thing. Then our hearts are prepared for the ministry that God has for us. And Moses was never bitter because of what could have seemed to him unfair. And many other people in Scripture, you know, God took Daniel away from his parents, sent him way over into a foreign country. God took Samuel away from his parents. He was brought up in the temple. And each of these men had tremendously special ministries to fulfill. That's why God took them away from their parents. And so God says, just give me the credit for knowing what I'm doing and thank me for it. And look for the job, the special task that I have for you to do. And, you know, it's interesting. Moses' parents were people of faith. And even though Moses was not brought up in that home, Moses became a man of faith. And he's in the same chapter here. We're told in Hebrews 11:27 also, just as Moses' parents did not fear the wrath of the king, they did not fear the king's commandment. Verse 27, we're told that Moses also, not fearing the wrath of the king. And so Moses had the same faith, the same lack of fear as his parents, even though he wasn't brought up in the same home. God was able to give it to him. And so God prepared Moses for the task he had for him. Moses was only in his own home with his own parents a few years, maybe 3 or 4 years. But you know, during that time, I think Moses' mother must have done a beautiful job. That's the time when the mother has the most time with the child during those first few years. I think she must have done a beautiful job in instilling character qualities into Moses' life during those first few years. You know, I think we have a mistaken idea. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We have the idea, well, let's see, I've got this little baby. I'll probably have about 18 years to do this job, maximum. And so we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and thinking that the time is going to come when we're going to build some of those character qualities into that child. By the time we decide we're going to do it, it's too late. We've already built them in without knowing it. And so Moses' mother here knew she was only going to have a few years. And she got right busy. And she built character qualities into Moses' life. You know the first character quality we should build into a child's life? The very first quality that we can build into a little baby's life. Well, we get the idea from what we do. What do? When you see a little baby? There's a little baby, a cute little thing. And what's the first thing you do? You take that little baby. You don't turn around and look at the haircut in the back or something like that. You take that baby and you hold it up like that. And you try and get him or her to look right in your eyes. You ever watch people do that? And they make the funniest faces. If you'd like to see something funny, have someone take a movie of you as you're trying to get a baby to look you in the eye and smile. Or to respond in some way. People make the funniest faces. They're trying to get that baby's attention so that they can communicate to that baby. And that's attentiveness. And that's the first thing you have to teach a child, to be attentive to your face. And you smile, and the baby smiles. You frown, and the baby wonders, what did I do? That's the very first thing you have to teach a baby. Attentiveness. So that that child will then be able to respond to your eyes, to the expression of your face. So all you have to do is look at that child, and he knows if you're happy or not. He knows if he's doing right or not. All he has to do is look in your face to respond to your facial expressions, to be able to discern your approval or your disapproval by your expressions. Because, really, that's the way God wants us to respond to Him. You know what Scripture says? God says, I will guide thee with mine eye. In other words, God says, I want you to be able to look me right in the eye and know whether I'm pleased or not. I don't want you to have to wait until I take you over my knee and spank you. Just look right in my eye. I want you to be attentive to my expressions of pleasure or displeasure. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:6 that we are to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And by means of the Holy Spirit, we are to gaze into the face of Jesus and be able to tell, as Peter could, whether he's happy or not with what we're doing just then. And so attentiveness, the first thing you can teach a little tiny baby, attentiveness. Obedience as well. Teaching them to know their limitations so that they'll be happy children. You can't be happy if you don't know your limitations. On our way to Chile, we drove to New York and went by way of Niagara Falls and had the opportunity of seeing the falls. And, you know, they've got these big iron railings around there, and it's exciting because you can go and you can kind of almost, you hang on that railing, you can look, and you can just see the water go over the side. And it's kind of fun to do that and see how that water dashes down. You can almost feel it go over the edge because it's right there. You could reach out and touch it almost. But in Chile, we have some falls that are not as abundant as Niagara, but about as high, I would say. Do you know, I never got very close to them. I'd stand usually about 20, 30 feet off. They had no railings, and I had no desire to follow that water over the edge. And so it's the railings that enable us to see life closer up and enjoy it. And it's obedience, learning our limitations, that enable us to really enjoy life close up. And so obedience is very important. Moses' mother worked on some of these basic character qualities during those first few years because we can instill these things right from birth, and we shouldn't think we're going to wait until they're bigger. But right from the beginning, build these qualities into their lives. Now, God here then gives us the story of Moses. Stephen says about Moses, he was a man mighty in word and deed. But God starts out the story by telling us how many people Moses was indebted to, how many unsung heroes were behind preparing Moses for his ministry. I think as parents, we need to remember that perhaps our greatest contribution to God's work might not even be what we do ourselves, but rather what our children might do as we take the time and effort to build in them attentiveness to God's displeasure or pleasure, obedience to God's commands. Perhaps the ministry God has for us is giving society lives that have been built on the principles of God's Word. And then as children this morning, if God uses you in any special way, I think God wants us to remember that there have been many other people that have had a very important part in our lives. And that God wants us to remember to be grateful to them and to recognize that many people have perhaps suffered, perhaps worked hard, perhaps prayed hard, that we might be successful. You know, the basic definition of humility is recognizing the part that God and others have had in our successes. And God says, Moses was a great man, but don't forget there were a lot of unsung heroes behind him to whom Moses had to show his gratitude for what God had done for him through them. And then, of course, the first thing that God has done for us, the greatest evidence of love, is that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Perhaps God is the greatest unsung hero. He does the most for us, and many times He gets the least credit for it. And not only He gets the least credit for it, He usually gets the most criticism because we don't even understand what He's trying to do for us. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I think that's where gratitude starts. This morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never said, God, I thank You this morning because You loved me, I thank You because You sent Your Son to die for me. That's the place to start. Thank You, God. Because through personal faith in Jesus Christ, I can come into Your family and be saved forever and ever. Gratitude for those who've had a part in making possible our successes. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we thank You that You loved us. We've never done, or never will be able to do anything to deserve that love. But we thank You for it. We thank You that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. We thank You this morning for that provision. Lord, we pray if there's anyone here who has never trusted Christ as Savior, that just now they will cry out to Thee, Lord, this morning I want to thank You for dying for me. I want to receive You as my Savior. Father, we thank You for this provision. We thank You for all that You've done for us. We pray You'd forgiveness. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we have been ungrateful, the times we've thought that You didn't do it right. And help us to recognize that You love us and that You're fully desirous and fully able of giving us not only eternal life in heaven, but eternal life that starts right now. Real life, abundant life, a life of joy. As we stop arguing with You and begin looking for what You want us to do, we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.